ever felt the presence of God. I can take you to the... Isn't it funny? The things we can't remember in life, but the things God does and we know He's touching our soul, we can take you to the very spot where it happened. I can take you to the church. It's Trinity Gospel Temple, right off of Tuscarora Street in Canton, right where 77 runs through. It's right down past the McDonald's, old shopping center. I can walk you into that church. I can take you to the side of the church. I can take you just about right where I was sitting the very first time at about the age of 12 years old that I felt the tug of God on my heart. You see, in our scripture today, God was calling Samuel, and He was calling him by name, and He was speaking to him audibly, very specifically. And He would call out his name, Samuel, and Samuel could not discern the voice of the Lord. And it took the man of God in Samuel's life to say, Samuel, you're hearing from God. This is what's happening, Samuel, and this is what you need to do when you hear that voice again. I want to tell you, I truly believe God has sent this man of God here today to tell somebody, the Lord is calling your name. You haven't recognized it to this point. God has been talking to you. God has been speaking to you. And perhaps, like me, at a very early age, you have been calling out to Him. And if you have, I want to tell you, God has heard your prayer and God will touch your life today. But you've got to recognize the voice of God and you've got to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, Samuel heard the voice of God. And he goes into Eli again and again. And finally, he does what the man of God tells him to do. And it is then God can continue to speak to him. Somebody is at a crossroads. Somebody has come to your point in your life. You've been calling on the name of the Lord. And God has been calling your name. And you haven't quite focused in yet and been able to recognize it's God. I'm here to tell you, it's God. I'm here to tell you, if you will do what God tells you to do, God can continue to speak to you and God will bless your life. So about the age of 12, I had been to an Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ Church, great church in Worcester, preached this doctrine. And I remember going to the altar. Now, I can't remember this the distinct sequence of time, whether it was that church before the church in Canton or vice versa, but it was all about the same time frame and about the same year. And I remember first going to the ALJC church, and it was a lot like our church, man, worship and praise and adoration to the Lord and music and all that good stuff. And that never really bothered me. You know, coming to, you know, some people talk about coming to Pentecostal church, and that, if that's your reaction, that's fine. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just telling you my experience. Because, you know, I liked, when I first came to the Lord and I was young, I liked loud rock and roll. I liked music. I'm not saying we play rock and roll, but I'm trying to illustrate a point. You know, I didn't mind going to football games and celebrating. I didn't mind crowds. I didn't mind, you know, this, that, and the other. So coming into church and doing that, hey, I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't mind the noise. I didn't mind the running. I didn't mind the shouting. I didn't mind the music. I didn't mind any of it. I liked it. I thought, guys do this for Jesus. That's all right. It's good by me. But at the age of 12, going to the ALJC church, I can take you right back. It's a veterinarian building right now because the church is in another building. But I can take you into that building. I say, this is where we sat. And that's where the baptistry was. The reason why I remember where the baptistry was is because I didn't quite understand the Holy Ghost yet. I didn't understand that the Holy Ghost was the Spirit of God that dwelt in Jesus Christ, come back on the day of Pentecost after Christ resurrected and He ascended to heaven. He said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father in my name. He said, I'm going to come and live in you, Jesus said, John chapter 14. He said, I'm with you. I will be in you. Holy Spirit dwelt in Jesus Christ, outpoured on the day of Pentecost, now can dwell in me and dwell in you. I didn't understand that at the time. So I'm sitting there, and you know, they're getting excited like we're getting excited. We get excited that you could be baptized in Jesus' name today. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Now, at that time, I looked over at that water. I'm thinking, man, I don't know about this. Because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand John chapter 3 and verse 1 where Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, oh, teacher, we know, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. So no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus said, thank you very much. But Nicodemus, except you're born of water and born of the Spirit, you're not going to see or enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Why? Because after the fall of man, after the fall of Adam and Eve, and when we, Ethan and I were out pulling weeds yesterday, man, did we pull weeds. What was it, 162? 162 silver maple saplings in our flower bed. Now, please don't think it didn't look like a forest. Most of them were this high. And we were pulling weeds. And we were out there probably from 9 or 9:30 in the morning till, I think, 3 or 4 o'clock. We worked, and boy, it looks good. But we had a discussion about Adam and Eve while we were doing that. I said, you realize if it weren't for Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be having to pull these weeds right now, don't you? But God is good. And after the fall of Adam and Eve, everyone born into this world is born literally a walking dead man. Because the Bible says that death passed upon all men because the sin of Adam. One man sinned and thereby death entered into the world. When our children are born, as cute as they are, unfortunately, in sin, death has passed upon us all. And unless we are born again of water and we're born again of the Spirit, why do I need to receive the Holy Ghost? Think about this. When God created Adam, he formed him from the dust of the ground, Genesis says. He was a lifeless creature. The Bible says God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. What was the breath of life? His spirit. What happened to Adam? He didn't just become alive. He didn't just wake up and start walking around. But the Bible says he became a what? A living soul. That part of Adam that was going to live forever and ever and ever. We have no comprehension of eternity, my friend. We have an idea. It's going to be forever. But right now, it's 1:46, the best I can see, headed toward 2 o'clock Eastern time. We live by that clock, don't we? Well, I got to go here. I got to be there. I got to do this. I'm late. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. I'm late. I'm late. Always in a hurry, always rushing, but one day, that clock's going to stop. Revelation said time will be no more, and eternity will have begun. And friend, my conduct, my conversation in this life, my response, most importantly, my response to Jesus Christ and his call in my life will determine where I live. And so back to Adam, he became a living soul. By the breath of God. And when Adam sinned, death passed upon all men. Death passed upon what? That soul. That soul is dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Is it any coincidence when Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Is it any coincidence at the end of John, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. No, it's not. Because he breathed once and man became a living soul. Jesus Christ was showing them that I am going to breathe on you again. You might be dead right now, disciples. You might be unregenerate right now. But when the Holy Ghost is poured out on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to breathe again. Amen? And the Bible says that they were in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues like as a fire appeared on them. And they all, everybody say all. They all received the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. And it didn't stop there. Happened to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 19. And it's still happening today. More people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just apostolic Pentecostals. I'm talking about Catholics. I'm talking about Baptists. I'm talking about Lutherans. I'm talking about whatever you call yourself. If you will surrender your life to God, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. God didn't create all these denominations. He birthed the church. We're the ones that got involved and started all this other stuff. He gave us His Word. And if I'm in the Word, I'm all right with Him. Amen. So, back to 12 years old. First place I ever felt the presence of God was in that charismatic church. And I knew by this time what it was. But still yet, I did not surrender my life to God. I remember my mother wanted to get me in a Christian school. She was concerned for my soul. She wanted me involved in a Christian school and trying to help me out. And she never really said, "You're going to go." She never really said, "I wanted you to go." And if my mother wanted you to do something, she'd let you know. But she was just kind of floating the idea out there. And we were attending one church, and she said, "You know, they have a Christian school here." I said, "That's good. That's good." Just kind of laid it at that. Well, fast forward year or two, probably two, and that God that I felt in that church service, man, you know, the Bible doesn't call Him the Good Shepherd for no reason. You know, He said, if I've got 100 sheep in this fold, and one of you leave, He said, I'm going to go after that one. I'm going to leave the rest of y'all here safe. I'm going to go find that one. He walked into that public school with me. He just wouldn't leave me alone. He walked into that public school. How do you know? Because, brother, when I would do things that ordinarily I wouldn't have been ashamed to do or think twice about doing, things that I wouldn't tell you of today because I'm ashamed that I'd done them, all of a sudden, I heard this voice, and here are the words. And people, I'm not criticizing the people. It sounds funny. But people generally laugh when I tell them what the Lord spoke to me. And I know it was the Lord because at the time, I just didn't care. I didn't care if I served God. I wanted what I wanted. And that was to party. And to play football and party with my friends. Well, it's great aspirations for a 15-year-old, isn't it? There's a future in that, isn't there? Well, Jesus saw a different future for me. And I remember one particular time I was involved in an incident, and that voice spoke to me again. Here's what it was. You had not have done that. Brother, that's all it was. You hadn't ought have done that. Brother Aaron, nobody had to come tell me who that was. Because there was something that began to happen in my spirit that had never happened before. It didn't happen when I was 4 years old playing Jesus, baptizing my sister. It didn't happen when I was 5 or 6 praying and saying, did the Lord answer you? Did the Lord hear you? It didn't happen when I was 7 or 8 years old listening to my mom and my grandma talk about the Holy Ghost. It didn't happen when I was 12 years old and felt the presence of God for the very first time and knew who that was. It didn't happen when I was sitting in the church and the ALJC church. Matter of fact, I even went to that altar. And again, I can take you to the same place where I would go and I would just cry my eyes out at that altar. Just cry and weep and seek God. Didn't even happen then. But when God began talking to me directly and showing me who I was and what I was doing, not just to myself, but other people around me, something happened that never happened in any of those instances. I began to be sorry for my sins. I truly began to be sorry for my sins. I wanted to change. I began to see things and think, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I saw what the future was going to be for me if I didn't change. And I'm like, God, I don't want that. And trust me, I didn't have good friends. I didn't have Christian friends. I didn't have anybody to go to. Matter of fact, I was just telling someone this in the last day or two. The school that God called me out of, I don't know that there was one apostolic Pentecostal in all of them. I didn't have anybody to turn to. But all I knew is I didn't want to live like that anymore. And oh, I think Jesus is talking to somebody, and I think you've been talking to Him, and I think you've been saying, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. Perhaps you've been hearing the voice of God, and you know what it is, and you're beginning to be sorry for your sins. I've got good news for you today. That's the voice of Jesus, and He wants to do something about it. He wants to lift that load of guilt. He wants to lift that load of shame. He wants to forget your past and give you a future. You see, I had a future planned for myself that would have destroyed me. I wouldn't have been here today, or had I been here today, I wouldn't have been here today. And I guarantee you, I probably wouldn't have been married for 31 years. I'm forgetting now, 1988. Help me do the math. 30 years, 31. 31 years, right? Married 31 years. So you have to do the math too, don't you? 32? 33? 34? Huh? 35. Give us 35, Lord. And have three kids and a beautiful grandbaby and kids that are serving the Lord. I guarantee you, I would not be in that position. Most likely, I would be dead. Because I was bent on destroying myself. But that voice came to me and said, you hadn't ought to have done that. Just in a few short months, my mother went to a revival at a church much like this one, with a pastor much like ours. He was an older World War II veteran. You see, in his life, he went his own way. He did his own thing. He lied about his age to get in the Army at the age of 15. By the time he was 18 or 19, his right arm was shot off up to mid-bicep, partial pinky finger, partial ring finger, index and middle finger and thumb still intact, though, on the left hand, and that's all he had left. Rebellious, stubborn, drunkard, temper. I'm not telling you anything he didn't tell us. I'm not telling you anything he wouldn't want you to know. One thing he would want you to know, that there is hope in God. Laying on a battlefield on a hill, fighting the Germans, literally. This isn't a story that's made up that you'll see on TV. It's his own testimony. Ascending the hill, machine gun nest, machine gun fire rips through him. He lies, arm shot off, bleeding on the side of a hill in Germany. Or France, or wherever he was. He was fighting the Germans, but he was overseas. World War II. And he called out to God. Friend, I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter where you've been. If you have called out to God, God has heard your prayer. And God wants to do something about it for you. He said, God, if you get me home, if you let me live, he said, Lord, I'll serve you. Well, he came home. He forgot his promise, but God didn't. And one day, according to his own testimony, there was an old camp meeting being preached underneath the brush arbor, underneath a tent. It was an old tent revival. And someone invited him out and said, come on, Richard, let's go out to this service. Said when they get to worshiping God, they dance around the poles and they bark up the poles like a hound barking at the moon. Well, that was their interpretation of things. I've been in Pentecost for 35 years and I've never heard anybody bark at the moon. And I guarantee if you bark at the moon in this church, our pastor loves us all enough, he'll say, listen, let's stay in the Word now. Let's stay in the Word. Yeah, we dance, we shout, we run, but we can substantiate it by the Word. I've never heard anybody barking at the moon, and neither did they. But that's just their way of making fun. The old brother Lucas went to that camp meeting, and the power of God got a hold of him. And he went from outside looking in to the altar, and this is his own testimony. He went to the altar and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure if he was baptized that night, but his own testimony was he went out and took his fifth of whiskey, busted it against the fence post, threw away his pistol that he had with him, and never looked back from serving God. I tell you that to tell you this. It was that man's church that I walked into that night in that May. And I walked out of that church in May, and I told my mother, I said, Mom, I loved it. She said, you did? You like it? And remember, this is the same mom trying to get me into Christian school because she was concerned for me, just different things going on in life, and she wanted her youngest to best opportunity I could have. I said, yeah, Mom, I liked it. Years later, Sister Camille, she never told me this until I was grown and married. She said, I wasn't necessarily going to go back that night. She said, but because you liked it, I went back. Don't ever underestimate the power of your testimony, young man. Young people, don't ever underestimate your zeal for God and your desire to live for God and who you're going to touch. God touched my mother that night, unbeknownst to me, through me. I wasn't trying to touch my mom. I knew it was the voice that had been talking to me that was in that church. Fast forward a couple months, July 24th, 1983. Again, I can take you to the church. I can take you to the pew. I had been repenting for weeks. That you had not have done that had become a God forgive me. I don't want to live this way. I want to change my life. I'm telling you what, you might have been crying out for months, maybe years. God, I don't want to live this way, but I've come to tell you today's your day. If you don't want to live the way you've been living, you can walk out these doors a whole different person. And I'm going to tell you how in just a minute, because I'll tell you what happened to me. That night I went to that altar. I had heard about the Holy Ghost for years, the presence of God, the Spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ. That I don't want to say that's all it is and minimizing it, but that's all it is. It's the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the one true living God, outpoured on the day of Pentecost now and living inside of us when we surrender to Him and receive it as a gift. He called it a gift. He said, it's the promise of my Father. It's a gift. God's waiting to give it to whosoever will. He said, whoever's thirsty, come to me and take of the water of life freely. Freely. It's flowing. I went to that altar that night, and I was knelt down there, and our youth leader, Brother Bill Hall, remember him? He was just here a few weeks ago. He was with me the night I received the Holy Ghost, and we were up there, and the assistant youth leader was praying, and I think maybe Shannon's sister was there, because Shannon was away at the time. And, let me back up just a minute. The way we got to that church is my Aunt Norma went to a revival in which five people, one of them was my wife, another was a good friend of ours. Did Robin receive those? Okay. Her sister and two other people got the Holy Ghost the same night. My aunt comes to my mom and says, I was at a revival the other night and five people got the Holy Ghost. Sister Pat, that's all it took. We went because mom wanted to check it out. And as they say, the rest is history and it's still being written. So we're there. And we're there on July 24th, 1983. Man, things are rocking. People running the aisles, worshiping God. And I went to the altar to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm up there praying. And I love to tell this story because it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'm there and I'm praying. And the assistant youth leader is there. And he just begins. He didn't tell me. He didn't say, Darren, you need to repent. Here's what he did. Put his arm around me. God, we come to you now. And Lord, we repent of our sins. He'd been in church a long time. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. Lord, forgive me for my sins. He wasn't telling me I need to repent. He was showing me how. He knew I had already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew I wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, Mark chapter 16 says that believers will speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16. Talks about all the signs that are going to follow believers. Speaking in new tongues is one of them. I didn't go up there to seek tongues. I went up there to seek Jesus. I went up to seek the baptism to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Jesus said believers are going to speak in new tongues. So, but anyway, I'm up here seeking the Holy Ghost. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm not being disrespectful, but I've been repenting for weeks. But you know what? It sure can't hurt to repent again. And I begin to repent, and I begin to pray, and I begin to seek God, and I begin to worship God, and that's very important. Worship God, to thank God. If somebody's going to give me a gift, I guarantee you, if I could have any car I ever wanted, it would be a Mercedes C-Class. For some reason, I just really like those cars. But I just haven't got to the place in life I can go blow 45 grand on a car. You know what I'm saying? probably in pretty good company. Hasn't happened yet, but if I could have any one of them, I would. If someone came up to me and said, Darren, and I know what the Mercedes symbol looks like. We do a lot of work for Mercedes where I work, so I know what the Mercedes symbol looks like. And if that key had the Mercedes symbol on it, and they're dangling it, and they're smiling, and they're saying, brother, I got you a... I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, man, you shouldn't have. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm worthy. No, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be jumping up and down. I'm going to be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm going to receive what they have for me. So when I was praying for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't. Man, Lord, I hope you fill me with this. I'm not sure, but Lord, I'm not worthy. Being worthy is not the issue. Right. He thought we were worth it to die on the cross. Not that we were worthy. We never will be worthy. And I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night and began to speak in another language just like the Bible says I will. Yeah. And there were things that broke off me that night that I never picked back up. Have I had to fight battles along the way? Absolutely. Am I still working out my own salvation and getting things out of my life that displease the Lord? Oh, absolutely. Most certainly. Absolutely. After 35 years, and if God tarries and I'm around another 35 years, after 70 years, I'll still be conquering this man. But there were things that had me bound that I never, ever went back to. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost that I once talked about dwelt in me. Well, that night I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of my sins were washed away. That which I was looking for, my friend, I found. Amen? I found in Jesus Christ, and life has never been the same. And the beauty of the story is, I didn't plan any of this. And you know what? John said that those who are born again are not born of their own free will. They're not born of flesh and blood. They're born of the Spirit. Not born of their will, not born of the flesh, but they're born of the Spirit. If you're here today and God's calling your name, my friend, it wasn't just because you got up today and you said, guess what? I think I'm going to go to church today. Uh-uh. It doesn't happen that way. He orders our steps. He watches every move we make, and He loves us with a relentless love. Even enough to show up in a high school and follow that young man around and say, you know what? You really shouldn't have done that. But 2 weeks after that, my mother went to the altar. The same woman that hadn't intended to come back in May. And she sat down in the altar, plopped herself down, and this is her own testimony. She said, God, if you gave Darren the Holy Ghost, she said, I am not leaving this altar until you fill me with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? She got the Holy Ghost, and she was baptized in Jesus' name that night. 2 weeks after that, my dad, he was a big old man. I mean, he was big boy. He's probably 4 or 5 inches taller than me, and he was big. But you know, he walked in that night, and he decides, I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Brother Hall puts him under the water. He's baptized in Jesus' name. And you would think if anybody would tear the house down, it would have been Big Glenn Pritt. But he was just sitting there, talking in tongues, just about that level, in the baptismal, because he wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. My sister, since then, in many years ago, received or was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. My brother was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, I'm telling you what, you never know what God can do through your life when you will just hear His voice and obey what the Word of the Lord tells you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to wrap this thing up real quick, and we're going to give ourselves an opportunity. An opportunity to come to Jesus. But I do want to say in closing, and why don't we all stand? And the musicians come. But I do want us to hear this, please. No matter how tainted your past, no matter what your family history is, no matter what it looks like your future is, God can change everything in a moment of time. I don't say this out of any arrogance or boastfulness or thinking I was a hot shot. But at the age of 15 years old, folks, my goal, I said, was to party. But my goal was to grow up and be an alcoholic. Now, that sounds odd to most people I tell. But I want to tell you, the flesh, the devil will use whatever he can in our flesh to drive us to hell. And for years I thought, you know, that was just the desires of a punk kid who thought he was cool, you know, wanted to fit in with the crowd. Oh, no. No, if my mom and dad knew half the stuff I'd done, it would have crushed them. And what they did find out about, thank God they crushed me. Amen? Then the Lord came along and healed everything. But that was my desire. And I thought, for years I thought, I was just a punk kid, you know, trying to be cool, trying to fit in with the crowd. Till one day I was leading worship in church. And the Lord began to speak to me. And it was just like a theater, a slide show. He began to show me a long list of alcoholics in my family. I'm not criticizing anybody for it. I'm telling you my testimony and what God did for me. Long list. And as sure as I'm talking to you today, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And this has been within the last 6 years the Lord showed me this. I've been serving God for a long time. Still thought, just a punk kid. The Lord spoke to me and said, you were next. Then it really dawned on me what God had done for me. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. Your mom and dad, your family history does not have to determine your outcome. You can be what God wants you to be. And I want to open this altar right now. God's been talking to you. I believe God's calling your name. And if you weren't sure if He was calling your name before you came into this church, I think you are today. God's calling your name. He wants to give you a future. He wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a peace. The altar is a place where we come and we give ourselves to God. In the Bible, it's a place of commitment. It's a place to dying out to our will. And that's why we gather around the altar. But if you're not comfortable there, you can pray right where you are. And surrender your heart to God. Surrender your soul to Him. But I would like us all to pray right now. We're all going to do this together. I want us all to repent. Whether you serve God for 35 years or whether you're just now learning about Jesus, I want to invite you to repent with us. I don't know. God knows. But I would just like us all to seek the Lord right now and repent. And we're going to take a time of repentance. And if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we're done repenting, our pastor's down here, Brother Mark's the minister in our church. If you want to tap one of these guys and say, I'd like you to pray with me, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, feel free to do so. But can we all just take a moment and let's seek God in repentance? Father, we come to you today, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Lord, you've been talking to me lately, and I really didn't recognize your voice, God, but I do now. And Lord, I understand you're not here to hurt me, Lord. You're here to help me. You're here to change my life, Lord. You're here to give me a future and a hope. God, I don't have to live like I've been living. I don't have to be what I've been. But God, I can be what you want me to be. I can live a life of peace and joy and righteousness in you. So Lord, I come to you now and I ask you to forgive me for my sins, Lord. Forgive me for things I've done wrong and, Lord, things I haven't done right. Forgive me, Lord, for seeking evil and not good. Forgive me for, Lord God, thoughts and attitudes and words that displease you. And Lord, forgive me for hurting other people, Lord God. I'm sorry, Lord. I ask you to forgive me now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I seek your face. Hallelujah. And if you would like to receive the great gift of the Holy Ghost, why don't you tap our pastor, tap Brother Mark on the shoulder. Say, I'd like you to pray with me right now. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. It's very simple. You repent of your sins, receive the Holy Ghost. Begin to thank Him out loud with your hands lifted up as a sign of surrender. Thank Him and worship Him and praise Him for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll begin to speak in another language like the Bible says you will. And God will inhabit you as His temple. Church, let's pray right now. Let's seek the Lord. Let's find somebody to minister to. Be gentle. Be gentle as a dove. Wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. In Jesus' name. Lord, let's worship the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Call upon His name. In Jesus' precious name.
Jesus, I love you.
would, before I turn it over to Pastor to give some instructions for our picnic and dinner and then pray, I would like to honor Sister Camille's request. Her sister-in-law, Sherry, has a bad persistent cough that's causing her not to be able to breathe. And we believe in prayer. We believe in the word of the Lord. We believe God can do what he said in his word, where he sent his word to heal. That's what I'd like us to do today. I'd like to pray that the Lord would send his word to heal Sherry and that we would receive a testimony very soon that she's better. Amen? We're going to be listening for a testimony. So, Lord, if we could, if you would, lift up Sherry with me right now to the Lord. Let's just entreat heaven upon her behalf. Father, by the authority of your word, it says, with your stripes we are healed. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord. Lord, your word said we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Another sign that follows believers. Jesus, right now, we're not with Sherry to lay hands on her. But God, I do read in your word where it said you sent your word to heal. So upon the authority of the word of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe right now, God, you're going to send your word to where Sherry is. We believe you're going to remedy the cause of this coughing. You're going to remove it. You're going to relieve her. And God, you are going to ease her breathing even now, God. And Lord, we believe we're going to hear a testimony very soon, God, that she is relieved and that she is made whole, because your word testifies, God, that you will. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. For hearing our prayer as our pastor comes, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for a great word of the Lord today, Brother Pritt. Amen. We want you to stick around today. Amen. Don't just eat and run. This is fellowship. This is time to get to know one another. Amen. Please stick around and hang out with us and play some games or whatever. Just talk and have a good time. Let's pray over the food as we go down and eat. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today. We ask you to just minister and bless. Lord God, thank you for this meal that everybody's provided. We praise you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Honor our guests. Let them go first. Amen. Praise God.